セガサターンしよう。
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday, Shiro Show. How you doing, Dan?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I would be lying if I said I was great.
Welcome on into the Shiro Show, everybody.
I am dog tired, but I am doing okay.
Yeah.
I will survive.
Well, we're glad you're here, Dave, and alive, and you know you're getting over your stomach bug. So.
I don't
that's
recommend.
Good,
I really don't recommend that anybody goes out and gets like a stomach virus.
You know what? I don't think most people try
want
to. But
it's no fun. Yeah, no, it's
worth repeating, I guess.
Yeah, just stay away if you can.
Brother.
I couldn't avoid it. I have kids and they bring that kind of stuff home.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then it just like sweeps through the entire family and it's like Gee. Knock them down. Anyway, but I'm okay. I'm on the up and up. I'm just
good.
I just am lacking energy, that's all.
You're on the mend.
I'm on the mend, but how are you doing? What have you been up to?
I have been real busy with you know, work and life things and practicing a lot of trumpet as we get closer to Easter. So that's been taking up a lot of my free time.
Yeah,
this
I saw
week,
you playing
that's all right.
Soccer Awards on trumpet, like, right?
I posted a little clip on our Discord. I found that someone wrote out the theme to the 2019 version. The 2019 games version of the Soccer Wars theme on flute. And so I took that, I brought down an octave because flute's way too high for a trumpet normally. And then I had to bump it up another notch because the flute and the trumpet are instruments in different keys. Mm. It works good now. It sounds good and it's a lot of fun being able to play the theme. I like it. It's fun. So yeah, I put a little taste. Because you can only put so big of a video file on Discord, you know, unless you have Nitro, which I don't. So yeah, I could only really put a little bit of the refrain in there, the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, how is everyone at home doing? Thank you for watching the Shiro Show. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah,
be sure to like the video and you know, share it out there on your social media of choice.
So Pudgy was first. So she
yes.
got, and we have Tales of Saturn, Dragons of Saturn, Wiener Bob, Paul Bort,
y'all.
Black Sheep, Neil Henderson, Dantrax. Let's see here. Nathan Anderson, Moose Track. Did I say Moose Track? He's there.
Offie
Matrix, David Zaney, Scotty Moe, Eric, Lee Benson, Michael Friesch, Analog Black Sheep, Bo is here, Bo Bales, Stuart Stapleton, Shadow Mask, Trekkies is here, Sasquatch is here. Who else? Papetsu, Brian Trusty, Stuart Stapleton, Sega Guys. Is that James? Probably. He's usually the one using that account. We got James, and we've got, that's everybody. Give us a thumbs up if you can. It really helps. One thing I will say.
And you're with us.
If there's an upside to having a stomach virus is that you do get to kind of stay home and play video games. So I actually got to play a little bit of Persona 5 finally. Persona 5 Royal on the Switch. So yeah, I'm very late to the game, I admit. It's not a game I really want to play with my kids around. You know, it's a little bit more, you know, so and when Jesse does, you know, when he does hear me play, he's like, "Why are they swearing so much?"
Oh my gosh.
And I'm just like, "Okay, yeah.
Well,
I guess I need to wear headphones." Really good so far. I'm really enjoying it. It is a Persona game, and I really like Persona games. It's just taking me so long to get around to 5. But yeah, so that's a
how much
silver lining.
How much time did you put into it so far?
Just beat the first castle, you know. So I'm really, really just getting into the game. It's gonna be
so only like 95 hours to go.
Yeah, basically only like
pretty much
a lifetime left to go. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I mean it was 95. Yeah, I'm like thinking like the last time I really sunk my teeth into a Persona game, I did not have kids. So, you know,
it was while ago.
Like, it was a while ago. Yeah, Persona 4 was back before kids. So yeah, this is harder because you just don't have that many hours to maximize all your relationships and date every girl, you know. But but you know,
might have to just pick and choose.
I'll just pick
narrow
and choose.
It down to your favorite.
That is exactly what I'll do. I'll just narrow it down. Okay.
Well, good luck with that. Hey, you know, I have an Atlas release, Sega slash Atlas release to talk about.
Nice
this just came in today. Their new game, Unicorn Overlord, came out today, and this was delivered to my doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm super excited. This did come with a slipcover on it, but it fits so tightly that I don't think I'm ever getting this thing back on again.
Oh, wow.
That's all right. The box is super cool. It has like a little magnet in it, feels like. So it just kind of like closes.
Right.
Real snugly there. And you got the game. I got it for the Xbox because I play my Xbox a lot. Also, it might be one of the last physical games released on the Xbox. So, mm-hmm. you know, may as well go for that little piece of history. Got this art book. The art book is, it is beautiful. The artwork is like...
Yeah,
one of the main reasons to get
a vanillaware game.
Of course, many of you may know that Vanillaware made one Saturn game and it's Princess Crown. Don't ask about an English translation. They also have music CDs. I think there's two CDs in here. I haven't opened it up yet. And then it came with a whole ass card game, like a deck building game.
Are you for real? Wow.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You did mention this. You were talking about this. Yeah, okay.
Little
that is amazing.
Manual.
Put those right up in the camera there so we can
see. Like a comic that kind of explains to you how to play the game, which is neat. And then on the back, there's like a little like setup guide. Here's some of the cards. They have several packs here.
I was going to say, the last time I saw a release like that, would have been the Shadows of the Tusk, you know, with the...
Right, it is a little set Shadows of the Tuskish.
Right.
And it has a little burlap sack. Look
at
that.
Oh my God, nice.
And the burlap sack has like little tiny plastic like pieces.
Dang.
There's like a little damage counter, it looks like, in there. And there's like a little a meeple or two in there. Yeah, so I mean, it's such a cool release. It was very expensive. It was $130.
Oh, no kidding.
I used some like Best Buy reward points and got some gift cards and stuff to pay for about half of it.
Cool.
So half of it was not out of pocket. But yeah, so I am very excited about this. It looks like a super cool game. How often do you get a whole deck building game with your video games? Not often, especially not from Vanillaware. So I had to, like it's going to be like a collector's item type of thing in the future.
Yeah.
Also,
definitely.
It probably is a fun game anyway. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm looking forward to sinking my teeth into that more when it's not the week anymore, which, or a work week anymore, which it's not. So anyway, so that was my big pickup this week. Besides, of course, Sumos. Keep sending me your sumo messages. I love seeing it, and I hope you're all enjoying your delicious sumo oranges that I am influencing you all to buy.
Incidentally,
so sorry about your wallet.
Incidentally, I actually did somehow manage to get in a Bomberman tournament last night with Techno Chris.
Cool.
We did a fair bit of blowing ourselves up, but somehow I scraped by with a win. I need to upload that video, but yeah, it ended up being pretty fun. Once we got the technical difficulties worked out, I think we kind of, that's the thing with the Netlink stuff. It's like, it can work perfectly with one person. And then another time, you have to like mess around for 30 minutes just to get it working.
Oh, brother.
And it's a number of little things that it could be, it's just a number. And that's the way that it is working with this old hardware like this, I think that, hopefully Knight's serial cable would probably solve those issues, but in the future. But yeah, so anyway, yeah. Which he's still working on. Yeah, it's a work in progress, but that's the hope. In the meantime, I have to play Dan Retrospectors. I have to go up against him this weekend. Hopefully we can get something on
luck.
The calendar. Yeah, I know, right? That's not going to happen. From what I hear, he's really good. So, and I don't remember the last time if I played Dan Bomberman. So yeah, he's probably going to wreck me, but it's okay. I got this far in the loser's bracket. I think I've beat three people in the loser's bracket. So that's good enough for me.
You're crawling back into it.
Crawling back into it.
In chat, John, it was my buddy from the Amiibo server said, "Oh, Dan, the sumo spread here too." Yes, I extol the virtues of sumo oranges on this show every week since it became in season. I think we only have about a month left of the season, though, so I gotta keep pushing the sumo so everybody can enjoy it. And Sasquatch in time said, "Now, who is going to figure out to have us play that card game over Saturn Netlink. That would be a lot of work to do. You're probably better off just using a camera or something, you know. But yeah, that would be cool. In the meantime, you can just play Shadows of the Tusk, an actual Netlink-enabled card game for the Saturn.
By the way, if folks are wondering where Pat is, because we failed to mention it. Sorry, Pat.
Yeah, there is no Pat.
Sorry, rip Pat.
Whoops.
Yeah, no, Pat is in Vegas. He's playing slots and PyGow. I don't know, whatever. He's playing table games in Vegas. So
he's having fun.
He's yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I wish
we miss
I was
him.
In Vegas right now, but we miss Pat, and he's going to be back. Well, he's going to be at Game on Expo next week. I'll be with him.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Assuming
my health is still good.
Yeah.
The show will go on one way or another. We'll just figure out a way to do it.
The show will probably be from the expo next
week, but most likely.
Guess the details are still being hashed out.
Yeah,
so we'll
see. Because, you know, if we have the opportunity, we might as well, but we have to figure out a creative way to do it. So, and I want to definitely get Dan in there too. At least, you know, because I imagine you're probably going to have an article or two to talk about. So,
I try to. Mm-hmm. I slammed this one out at the last minute this week, but
Schrodinger's
I did
Pat.
Have one this week.
Schrodinger's Pat, that's true. If I here's an experiment right here, okay? So if I turn off all the cameras, Pat is technically he could be there, could not be there. Mm-hmm. That's Schrodinger's Pat. Now when I turn him back on, then that kind of ruins the experiment. But anyway.
He still could be just like lurking under the table or something. You don't know who's in this little spot.
Okay.
You know, I may have just switched spots with Pat and then Pat fell asleep and slid under the table. You know, he's okay either way, though.
I'll just leave it there. All right. Do I need to like refresh the site? Have you written a new article? Yes, you have. And refreshing the site definitely helped. All right. I'm going to bring that up so we can talk about that.
Okay. Oh, real quick before we get into the news, Emerald Nova wanted us to shout out that he is going to announce live on his Twitch channel next weekend, not tonight, as I erroneously tweeted out earlier today. I'm sorry about that. Very sorry. I was wrong. He's going to announce the winners of the Sega Extreme Saturn game competition. That's going to be next weekend on his Twitch, March 15th at 8 p.m. Eastern, I believe.
Okay.
Unless I got that detail wrong, too. So, look forward to that.
All right, cool. So, next weekend.
Yes, next weekend.
We'll remind you next weekend as well.
We will. We will talk about this again on the show next week.
He wanted us to tell you today, so now it's on your radar.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to bring up this browser here. And how far back do we go? I guess we go to...
Daytona story.
That's right, to the Daytona story. This is James's story. Mm-hmm. Now, I saw James in the YouTube chat. I wonder if he would be interested in talking about this. Because if not, it's just...
Yeah, James.
He's going to have to deal with me talking about his article and his video. Great. Okay, so I can actually tell you guys a little bit of a story about this video.
Okay.
Is that I actually asked James to do a video. What was it? I think it was Joe, Sega RPG fan, messaged me and he was like, can you give me any like B-reel or like beta footage of somebody running Daytona well? You know, so because Joe is a big fan of Sega Rally. He liked touring car. He liked hang on, but he was like, I just can't get into Daytona, you know? And so I was actually really busy, but I hit up James and I was like, you know, you love Daytona too. Have you thought about doing a video like this? And we got to talking, I think, one morning, just talking for like an hour on the phone. And he's like, I really should do a video just talking about how wrong that narrative was. He's here now, so he could speak for himself if he wants to.
Okay, good.
James, you there? Okay.
Hey, doing, guys?
Hey, welcome on into the show, James. Thanks for writing this article. Extolling the virtues of Daytona.
As Dave said, it was a kind of chat we had via Discord, kind of DMs and stuff, and we're kind of going backwards and forwards talking about the kind of racing games and stuff, and the kind of narrative about how Daytona was received. Because I think if you listen to a lot of stories that get told now, you've got over two decades, almost three decades now, worth of, stories that when it came out, it was maligned and every review slammed the pop-in and it was a bad port and it didn't play well. And, you know, it's like whenever you actually went back and started looking through the reviews, it was actually quite, you know, startling. Not just because I remember the reviews back then whenever I had the Saturn, kind of when it was new, and I remember that, you know, the pop-in was mentioned. But right. You know, some magazines like Digitizer, and people might wonder what this is. This is something that we had on UK TV, and someone in the actual comments on the video said they had this on Australian TV as well.
This Generation Next thing that Dave's got on the screen?
Yeah, so it's called Teletext. Yeah. So that Generation Next is the name of the feature, but the actual magazine is called Digitizer. So believe it or not, this was quite a big thing. So is it Mr. Biffo? Is the kind of guy that used to run it. And as the generation went on, they were really quite down on Sega and the Saturn. I mean, I think they famously gave Sonic 3 on the Mega Drive like 3 out of 5 or something like that. It was just a really bad review.
Right. You've got some excited people in chat when you mentioned Teletext, by the way.
But I mean, it did everything on it. It was like the internet before the internet. It kind of like you had sports results, horoscopes. You could even book a holiday, a cheap holiday on Teletext, you know. So, but I just wanted to kind of go back and kind of collate some reviews and kind of comments on it that were made. And the reviews all said the same thing. The thing that we've, you know, myself, Dave, you know, Dan on our side have said all along is that it might run at 20 frames per second. It might look a bit janky in places, but the soul of the game, the arcade game, is there. It's that handling. It has always been there. And I started to get a bit kind of, am I going crazy here? Is this just something that maybe I'm thinking? It's kind of time has gone on, but it was really refreshing to go back and see that so many reviews all mentioned that, yeah, there are rush job kind of elements in there. You can see the port is rushed, but it plays so damn well.
Not to mention.
Yeah, your story has... Yeah. Reviews are like 96%, 90%, 5 stars, 94%. Edge gave it an 8 out of 10, which for Edge is like a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Also,
you scale it on the curve.
There were 40 cars on screen with AI, you know, that would actually push you off the road, Edge... try to jump in front of you. That you definitely didn't get that with Ridge Racer, you know? And it's just people forget that, you know?
I mean, Edge did mention that as well. I think one of the lines that they said is that there's, you know, 40 cars on the track and there's next to no slowdown. And I think the line, I underlined it in the article, it actually says that it's testament to the power of the machine that it's actually doing that.
Yeah.
And Edge also mentioned the AI of the rival cars, the way that they aggressively will not just fight you, but they'll fight each other. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look up the track, they're literally barging into each other, taking one another's lines. True. You know, they'll just aggressively cut you up. And
you can ramp up or lower the aggressiveness of the AI, too.
Yes, that's right,
so, you know, you can make it even harder for yourself if you want. But, but yeah, I mean, so that's the thing. And you did make a good point. You were very careful to say, this review and this video, the point of it is not to say that this version is better than CCE, which is something a lot of people, you know, go on record say, oh yeah, it's so much better.
Yep.
That's not what this is about.
I don't know any way like that.
Because as we know, there's a lot of folks like Dan who actually prefer CCE. There's a bunch of people in our chat here that prefer CCE. So it really, it's just to say that it is good and that it's not nearly as bad as history remembers. You know what I mean? Like, as bad as, like, you know, modern press and YouTube remembers it being, you know, because at the time.
Yeah, I said that at the start, that I'm not going to waste any time going into a history lesson about Daytona or going into kind of differences between this one and CCE. There's plenty of videos that do that already. I just wanted to focus solely on why this port plays so well, why so many people love it, why it resonates even today, and that some of the narratives that get told about it are pretty much, you know, they're wrong. It wasn't badly received. People did criticize the shortcomings because it was rushed, but, you know, the soul of the arcade game, that handling, that power sliding, that AI, it's all there.
And that video has it's sitting at 29,000 views. So how about that? Nice. 6 days ago, uploaded 6 days ago, and you're at almost 30K. So
that's a good suggestion, Dave.
I think folks resonated with it for sure. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good idea. And then, so yeah, one awesome thing that I thought, you know, would be amazing is because, you know, I've watched James' videos for a while now, and I realized that like the scripts of his videos are essentially like really well thought out articles. You know, it could easily mm-hmm. be turned into articles, you know, so that's exactly what he did. And that way folks who consume stuff differently, you know, folks who would rather read about it than watch it. Believe it or not, there are those folks who would rather read the book than watch the movie, then they have that option as well, you know, so.
Yeah, Dan did a great one last week as well for you guys, the Turbo Outrun and that.
Yep.
That video is going quite well. There's actually about 12,000 views on that one. So that, again, that's more homebrew stuff. So mm-hmm. the appetite for the homebrew stuff is really good to see as well. And Dan did a great job on that because he got on that whenever that latest build dropped and he put that video out in like a day. So yep. he put that together in really fast time. So, you know, kudos to Dan for getting that. And obviously, again, his script is kind of formed part of the article as well for his video. So it's a good mm-hmm. idea, Dave, to say that, you know, that we can basically turn these scripts. Because you said the hard work's done, but we've written them already. It's just a matter of kind of tailoring them, you know, to fit on the site. So, no, good shout.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Scotty Moe in chat said, whichever version is the playable horse is superior, clearly. Well, there's one way to think about it.
There's one way to think about it. You know, and I have to be honest with you, I would love to play, like, I personally would love to play CCE more. I'm going to try more of CE, the Japanese version of CE. Yeah, I know Double Dime loves that game.
Or the Netlink version.
And the Netlink.
Well, Netlink edition is specifically like the circuit edition.
Specifically the Netlink version because that's the one where I was playing Double Dime, you know, and I got to like Dinosaur Canyon and it just churned my stomach. I don't know why. Why is it that certain games do that? I used to think it was just depth of field, but now I don't think so anymore. It could just be frame rate. Like if the frame rate is a certain way. Yeah, and so it's so funny because the original Daytona with as low of a frame rate as it is does not make me nauseated, but CE does in certain places. Yeah, so I like had to step away. He probably thought that I was just making excuses, but I was like, no, I seriously cannot play anymore. I'm gonna need a bucket, you know. So yeah, that happens to me with a few Saturn games. Sonic 3D Blast is another one of them that I can think of. But I think with that, it's like
the weird camera mute.
Camera, rubber banding around. Yeah, it snap. The camera just like whips around and that kind of like, yeah. But I don't know what it is about Daytona CE. I'm going to give it another shot for sure. But yeah, so thanks, James. I appreciate you writing that up.
Yeah,
for the
thank
show.
You.
No, thank you, guys.
Also, man, this past week, Steep Slope Sliders. Now, this is just a recap of last week's show, but I want to talk about this real quick because those guys in the Shiro Community Challenge channel have just been going off. Like, and I think it's been like Pandemonium, Fart Daily, Shadow Mask is up there on top of the leaderboards. You have a few other folks, one whose name I cannot pronounce, but check it out. Get into our Shiro Challenge, Community Challenge, if you're interested in trying your hand at Steep Slope Sliders. It's going on.
Yeah, we're just 1 week into it.
We're 1 week into it, and we're going all March is Steep Slope Madness. I was gonna say March Madness, but yeah. So you have a chance to jump in late, even if you are still buying a copy of the game, or if you are gonna download a copy of the game, go ahead and check it out. Folks are having a lot of fun with it.
I haven't posted the time yet. But yet I've been so busy. Like a lot of my free time in the evening is just like, you know, playing trumpet or, you know, like we're Bunny and I running out to the store after we get off of work and then we're eating dinner late, you know, and then it's like I'm tired and I just want to like watch YouTube or watch a show or something. So, but I'm definitely going to get some times in for Steep Slope. Yeah.
It's not
a cool game.
I haven't done it yet. I haven't put anything in yet, but, from what I can tell, it's like they're racing each track. I'm not seeing a lot of tricking, a lot of doing tricks. I don't know if that's like one of the categories. I probably should know that, but I think
tricks are separate categories.
It's a separate category. Okay. Racing is a huge part of it, but for racing, you're really just talking about like taking the cleanest lines, just going downhill and trying to beat the other person by like a couple frames, basically.
I think the trick categories are kicking in for like the mid-month refresh.
Yeah.
I don't think the trick categories are up yet. Someone in the chat, correct me if I'm wrong.
That sounds correct. That sounds like what I remember.
Yeah. I think the thinking was, okay, at the beginning of the month, have everybody just like get used to the tracks, you know, racing them, not thinking about the tricks. And then once everybody's like more familiar with the game and all the tracks, then it's like, okay, let's bring in the trick categories. Because then that's a whole different way of thinking about trying to like, instead of maybe avoiding the ramps, you're trying to get up those ramps so you can do some tricks in the air.
Yeah,
and you have to think about what the controls are and what exact tricks you want to do. So
it's true. Like this part is great for track memorization because that's exactly what these folks are doing. They're like, Fart Daily says he's playing it right now. Love this Shiro challenge. What I've observed is that folks are like basically just using gravity, right? And they're trying to weave in and out of barrels and find the cleanest path, I guess, so that you get the most gravity down the hill. But essentially there's kind of like a top out point, right? Like gravity is only going to make you go so fast, right? So folks are basically winning by a matter of frames. We're talking like a couple, you know, like Panda is saying, oh, you beat me by a couple frames or something like that, you know, because at the end of the day, finding that limit, it's like there is kind of a theoretical limit to how fast you can go on some of these courses. And it's just about finding that, you know? So who knows? Mm-hmm. Somebody might find a different line that gets them a couple frames quicker. So, but yeah, like you said, it's going to be track memorization now, and then they'll roll out the tricks halfway through the month.
Yeah. Nathan Anderson said in chat, hybrid is the mid-month refresh, which is trick and score.
Trick and score
is going on right now. So I remembered it correctly for once.
Cool. All right. Moving right along, this is one that Peter wrote up. Tomb Raider Unfinished
Best
Business.
Best of Saturn.
Yeah. So
this is kind of interesting. He usually doesn't write about essentially homebrew projects.
Except he's such a huge Tomb Raider fan. I'm not surprised.
He couldn't help himself.
He could not help himself. No, he actually like this.
That's funny.
In his list, in Peter's personal list of like big moments in last year, this was, you know, ranked high for him, you know, because Peter is a huge Tomb Raider fan, and there are a lot of huge Tomb Raider fans out there. I have a lot of nostalgia for it. I do like Tomb Raider, but like not like Peter, like he's crazy about this game. The 1997 expansion pack to the first Tomb Raider subtitled Unfinished Business, finally hit Saturn in 2023, courtesy of Retro Raider John. The Atlantis levels pick up from the conclusion of the main game and see Lara infiltrate Natla's mutant hatchery, whilst the final two levels see the return of the now flooded city of Kamun and the mysterious Temple of the Cat. It is kind of amazing to see that kind of scope right there behind her head with the sky there and all of the landscape. I mean, you know, knowing how Saturn draws 3D and stuff like that, it is pretty cool to see that. More challenging, featuring bigger levels, more enemies, the main game. More enemies than the main game. This expansion pack will test even veteran Tomb Raiders. Like Tomb Raider, you'll love seeing Lara back on Saturn. And there's a... One of the enemies was added in. So, yeah. Anyway, definitely one to... We wrote an article a while back about it, but definitely one for folks to check out if they haven't played it.
I actually played Tomb Raider originally on PC. We got it on PC when I was a kid. And
PlayStation.
Yeah. I didn't... Because I didn't have a Saturn when I was a kid. I didn't have one until... about 6 years ago. But yeah, I didn't get far in Tomb Raider.
Was
cool. It was hard.
Controls,
yeah,
right?
It's kind of hard for me. It's like the controls are a little tough to get a grip on, and just the gunplay, I guess, you know, can be kind of tough, like managing like multiple wolves or whatever attacking you, and you're just like trying to get yourself away from them and shoot while running backward, and it can be a little dicey. So,
oh yeah, I mean,
yeah, I didn't get too far. I mean, I was also a kid, so
exactly. I would say that if I got through the game, it was watching my dad. I didn't really get through it, but I mean, playing it on the PlayStation wasn't much better than the Saturn, honestly, with the original digital pad on the PlayStation, which was just garbage. Mm-hmm. You'd have to walk up to a ledge. And if you weren't careful, you just drop off the ledge, and then you have to climb back up. And you'd have to this was like really early clumsy platforming where you really had to like time everything. So you'd have to get to the edge, then you'd have to back up a couple steps, then you'd have to run and jump. You know, it's like everything had to be like set up. All your moves had to be set up. And I mean, that's part of the charm for some folks. But yeah, so I originally experienced it on the PlayStation and then later on got a Saturn copy. But yeah, I mean, I suck enough at the first one by itself. I probably wouldn't be any good at this, but I highly recommend it to folks who are into it.
We have a lot of Tomb Raider love in the chat.
That's good. That's
Tales
good.
Saturn.
Yeah.
So they love Tomb Raider and the Saturn back in the day. Absolutely groundbreaking. The first properly full 3D game I ever played. Mm-hmm. Shadow Mask said, played it on Saturn. It was the only game my mom ever bought for me. Girl power, I guess. Yeah,
that's good. So.
And Moose Track said, Tomb Raider was so groundbreaking on Saturn. Full package. Music, movies, puzzles, action. Tomb Raider blew my damn mind.
I mean, that can't be understated. Even just as a kid watching the game, it blew my mind. Like when she jumped into the water and swam around. And I did think that it actually looked better on Saturn. Like the water scenes looked better on Saturn.
Sure. Yeah, they do.
It blew my mind, you know, watching her swim through the water because, like, I just hadn't seen anything like that before.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it was crazy. Moving right along, this one Pat wrote. You want to take this? Since I've been doing most of the talking.
Sure. Oh, you've been doing so good at it, though.
Okay.
I like hearing your dulcet tones. No, I'll read it. Just give me 2 seconds to scroll up to it.
Sure. I'll tell you what. I'll play the video. Here. And you.
All right.
Oh, it's just Pat. It's Pat playing the game.
Yeah. It's his clip from his when he was playing through every Sega Extreme game competition entry.
Nice.
Live on stream. I think it was last Friday. So yeah, he clipped it out for this. So anyway, the story is for those of you listening in the podcast. Pat took a look at the English translation of Shin Megami Tensei Soul Hackers, the Saturn version, of course. So back in March last year, Trekkies Unite 118 created a thread on translating Shin Megami Tensei's Soul Hackers on the Sega Saturn using the official 3DS translation as a base. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest hurdles was getting the English translation from the 3DS version of Soul Hackers back into the Saturn version. Trekkies had said the 3DS file formats are very similar to the Saturn file formats, save for some Indian differences. The game already supports ASCII encoding, will automatically switch to an 8x16 font when it detects ASCII text. Trekkies also needed to figure out which additional text was added to the 3DS and PlayStation ports of the games, and which belonged to the original Saturn version of the game. Trekkies said, what we found with this is the 3DS version that got a localization, an official one, is very similar under the hood to both the original Saturn port and the later PlayStation port. If you go through the files, you're going to find a lot of the same files as the Saturn and PlayStation versions. It made it easy to kind of figure out what text needs to go where, what needs to be swapped in, and what needs to change. So Pat went on to say in his story, one thing you will notice in this build is that the text is not properly filling the text box. We have some screenshots in our story on the website showing that. This is due to the 3DS using a variable width font system and it's running at a higher resolution. Trekkies has a fix for this, but he needs to wait until all of the text translation has been inserted into the game first. He has a long quote explaining this, but I'll summarize it. Basically, he's trying to do like a find and replace on the Japanese text, and if he starts messing around with the text boxes too much and trying to make them like fit the Saturn version, it's going to screw up his find and replacing, and he won't be able to tell what he's looking for. So he's got to like finish getting all of this ported over essentially before he starts cleaning it up for the a patch for the Saturn version.
Mm-hmm.
Trekkies even rewrote how the name entry screen functioned to make the experience as smooth as possible. Trekkie said, the name entry screen required a lot of hacking to get it to work properly. There were even some parts where I had to basically just write entirely new functions, compile them, and then replace them. So basically what I had to do is I had to disable the three Japanese font systems, hiragana, katakana, and kanji, then replace the amount of characters per name. In the original Japanese, you had three characters for the first name, three characters for the last name, and eight for your screen name. I had to increase it to six for your first name and six for your last name. Also, BattleTex is not fully implemented in this build, the one that was submitted to the contest, I believe Pat means, but it's a work in progress. Even the demon negotiation text was a massive undertaking in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Trekkie said the demon negotiation text was still partially implemented in this build. Basically, for the 3DS version, the pointers are 32-bit, whereas on the Saturn and PS1, they're 16-bit. Mm-hmm. I had to convert over to 16-bit, but others were too big, so I couldn't fit them into 16-bit. So eventually, what I had to do was rework it to read 32-bit values just for these entries.
Mm-hmm.
End quote. It sounds like a real pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. Trekkies later submitted a build after the first entry that translates several of the battle elements, such as demon names, item names, and attacks. With that change, it made the submission to the game competition even more playable than it was before. One of the biggest questions everyone's been asking Trekkies, though, is when will this be fully released? When asked, Trekkies replied, it's basically in the it'll be done when it's done category. Fair enough. Amazing. While this might be a little ways off, the progress Trekkies has made over the last year has been amazing, and we look forward to playing and covering it once the full release drops. In the meantime, if you'd like to give this pre-release fan translation a try, you can download it from the Sega Extreme Competition thread. So there you go. Thanks for writing that up, Pat. Pat and yep. Ether, who's hopefully going to watch this later once he's done losing all his money in Vegas.
Exactly. You know, now I know that I know this is a work in progress, and it'll probably end up being submitted to next year's game competition, chances are. So again, like there are, I kind of had to factor that in when I was ranking, you know, doing my rankings, because you consider all the projects that had been completed in 2023, mm-hmm. you know, so mm-hmm. it was tough. It was really tough because, again, some of these games, they just have so much cachet on the name alone, you know, and mm-hmm. everybody's like so hyped because it's Soul Hackers or whatever, you know, but again, yeah. you know, you have to give each project its due. So no offense, Trekkies, if I didn't rank this as high as some of the other things, but again, I figure if you submit it next year in next year's competition, it's going to be right up there at the top, you know, but that's, but yeah.
So, it sounds like he's putting a huge amount of work into this. It wasn't just a simple, like, yeah. you know, change
this is not
graphics.
A simple, exactly. No,
yeah, to show English of Japanese, like he's like rewriting.
I didn't think that he did expect, but again, yeah. like. If this is as much of a pain in the butt, it's still going to take a little while. And he's probably, judging by Grandia, like he was still making refinements to Grandia like a year or 2 years after he released it. Mm-hmm. So like I wholly expect this, and I hope that it will show up at complete in next year's competition, because I would love to be able to rank it as a complete work. But yeah, I think it's
Trekkie
awesome.
Said in chat. Oh, I wasn't expecting to win. I deemed it train wreck edition right. after all. Okay,
well,
fair enough.
You'd be amazed. Like some folks are going to rank it much higher just because of the name of the game, you know, what it is, basically.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure that they're also taking into account just how much work he's described
True.
That he's done just
True,
to get
for sure.
the official script into there. I mean, he's backporting essentially a script for a much more modern system,
yeah.
the 3DS.
And
into the Sega Saturn.
And having to weed out what doesn't belong, you know? So
yeah, all the extra content, right?
That actually sounds like the nightmare to me. It's like, oh my
yes.
God, seriously? Like, that take a normal, what it would already be really complicated doing one of these translations and then add that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, what a nightmare. But, you
yeah.
know, like, I don't think Trekkies usually goes for, like, the easy stuff.
The easy ones, you know? Yeah. Captain Hodden's in chat. I had a coworker in his 20s who is hyped for Soul Hackers on Saturn. Well, that's awesome. Why isn't he watching? Get your coworker in here. Let him know there's a weekly Saturn show.
Yeah.
You know, and then
someone
he'll
asked
be hyped about lots of other stuff
too.
Who
was it? Someone in the chat asked if this would be a good first Shin Megami Tensei game to play.
Oh.
And I was thinking about that question. I was like, well, I mean, sure, if it's your first, you'd have nothing to compare it to, right? So, I mean, I kind of would be interested to play it in that regard, because like,
oh, he might be watching. Nice.
Now I can only play it and compare it to everything else because I've played so many others. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
I would say go for it. Yeah, go for it. Have this be your first. Nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. It's a Saturn game. If you love Saturn, play it on Saturn. It is one of the older ones, one of the mm-hmm. original. But even this was like a spinoff of a spinoff, right? So
right. Well, the original game was just called Megami Tensei, and wasn't made for like the PC Engine or something. And so then when they made like a sequel or a remake or something, they called it Shin Megami Tensei, which Shin means new.
Right. So. And then you had the Devil Summoner, and then you had Soul Hackers, which was like in that line. But anyway.
And eventually they made a little spinoff called Persona.
Right. Okay. So
original was for Famicom. Okay. Thank you, Trekkies.
Oh, okay. Famicom.
Famicom.
All right. Here's the one that you just, here's the article that you just threw up right before the show. So
yes, I slammed it out. So
I remember you writing about this a while back.
We have written about it a couple times. Yep. Right. Okay, yeah. Cool. I wrote about once when it was announced last September, and then a few months later in December, they announced the release date for April of this year.
For folks listening, now we have Assault Suit Lennox 2, Saturn Tribute.
More news. Yeah. So let's get into it. The Switch and PlayStation releases of classic Saturn side-scrolling shooter Assault Suit Lennox 2 are being delayed in the West as a new company steps in to handle their physical releases. City Connection said on X, formerly Twitter, that the Western release of Lennox 2 will be published by Clear River Games. But that appears to be the case only for the Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5 versions, as City Connection posted a few days earlier on Tuesday night that the digital and physical versions available on the Japanese Nintendo/PS store are only in Japanese. If you wish to play in English, purchase the Xbox/Steam versions or wait for more information on the European/American release of the game, end quote. The official website for Lennox 2 lists an April 25 release date, as the company announced back in December, and we reported on that at the time, for the Switch and PlayStation in Japan and Asia, as well as on Xbox and Steam, with no region mentioned for those. But then below that, and I've got a little screenshot of what the website shows right now in the article embedded here. So below that, the site says that the Switch and PlayStation versions in North America and Europe have a release date of TBA, to be announced.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that says to me, you know, it's delayed because they're handing it off to somebody else who's going to be able to do this, you know, do a physical release, which that somebody else is apparently this Clear River Games, which I'll talk about them in a second. And they have no idea how long they're going to need to, you know, produce that version. So, you know, they're just saying, okay, you know, whatever. And this also, reading between the lines, means that we're not getting the Xbox release physically. So if you want to play in English, like City Connection say, you're going to have to just buy it digitally from Steam or Xbox. I mean, a lot of these little games do not come out physically on the Xbox. They're just digital releases because maybe smaller market, so the profit margin's going to be tighter, but also because Microsoft famously has a higher threshold for printing things physically. You have to print more copies at a time. Whereas with the PlayStation and the Switch, you can do just like 1,000 copies in your run. They'll allow that. And it's like several thousand copies, maybe 10,000. I'm not exactly sure the number, but it's much higher on Xbox. So that's kind of prohibitive to these sorts of small limited releases.
Yeah.
Anyway, about Clear River Games. It is a Swedish video game publisher established in 2020 and owned by Embracer Group. Good luck to them. Embracer's been on a warpath. Canceling games and firing all their employees. So good luck to Clear River on that. It's recently published physical versions of quite a few games, such as Ender Lilies, Quietus of the Nights, Undernight In Birth Sis Celeste, I have a typo there, and Frogun Deluxe Edition, among others. But it appears that all of those are only in Europe. It doesn't appear that they've ever published a game in North America. They have a distributor called Game Outlet Europe. They don't list like an American distributor. So this messaging from City Connection has been that, you know, there's going to be an American release, an American/European release, but the company handling it seems to have never done an American release. So either this is going to be their first one, or they're going to subcontract it out to a different company. I have no idea. Or they are just going to do like what Strictly Limited Games does and just release this in Europe and tell Americans and Canadians that, hey, you can import this from Europe. Mm-hmm. It remains to be seen. There have been no details clarified from Clear River itself. It has not said anything except that it replied to City Connection's delay announcement on Tuesday with a pair of eyes emoji. That's all I can say about that. They gave no words. They just made an eyes emoji. On their official website, Clear River says about itself, "Our vision is to bring the joy of experiencing vintage retro games and revive classic game franchises to players all over the world. We focus on publishing high-quality classic game franchises, modern retro and pixel art games, and indie games that inspire gamers and bring back great memories of the past or discover new great games. With physical editions distributed online and in retail stores, we want to make great and unique games accessible to retro game fans all over the world." So that's, they focus on retro, or I guess retro-styled games. Putting them out physically is part of their mission statement. And they apparently put them in stores to some extent. We'll see. We'll see how that all goes. So the Collector's Edition, I noted in my story, of Lanos 2 is set to release in Japan next month, but it's clear whether it or a different Collector's Edition altogether will make it to the West. Even the languages that the game will be translated in are up in the air. The game's official site says that the Switch and PlayStation versions will vary depending on sales region. Mm-hmm. While the Xbox and Steam versions will be in Japanese, English, traditional Chinese, simplified Chinese, and Hangul, which is the Korean alphabet. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's coming out in any other language than Japanese is notable. The game originally is entirely in Japanese. When City Connection announced last year that Lanos 2 would be next in its Saturn Tribute line, it said it would localize the game into other languages. That would be a first for the company after selling 14 Saturn games up to this point whose languages had been untouched. So, and then the rest of the story is just kind of going back into what Saturn Tribute line is and, naming the 14 games and what Assault Suit Lanos 2 is, which, if anybody is wondering and hadn't played it, it is a 2D mecha run and gun that was originally developed by NCS and published by Masaya on the Saturn in February 1997, exclusively in Japan. It's a sequel to the Genesis game Assault Suit Lanos, also known as Target Earth in North America. And it's a sequel to the Super Nintendo game Assault Suit Vulcan, which is known as Cybernator in North America and Europe. Yeah,
that's the one I
played. There you go.
Back in the day.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So what do you think of all this, Dave? I've talked enough.
I think that we'll see, I guess. You made it sound like we have a long wait, you know?
Well, we have no idea.
We really have no idea. It could somehow release
day and date on the PlayStation Switch in the West. Who knows? Or mm-hmm. it might take another year. Right. The details are thin on the ground right now.
I guess the question is, will someone in the fan community translate it first? Right?
I don't know. Now here's the thing. It looks from like video and screenshots that they've released that they have not hacked a translation into the original Saturn game. They mm-hmm. have the Saturn game running in an emulator, and they have a Unity wrapper around the emulator for like their save state feature and, you know, quick rewind and that sort of thing. And they are also using that Unity wrapper, I think, to overlay on top of the screen, and they've got it timed out when certain screens are appearing in the game that they are putting an overlay with the English translation or, the other languages like Hangul and Chinese and whatnot. So. Right. I guess that's probably the easiest way they could have done it. You know, it's not like hacking a Saturn game is impossible. We have lots of people here, myself included, who have done it. But City Connection just didn't want to do it that way. So, in other words, I think it would be some effort to actually get their official translation into the original Saturn game, because you'd have to, if you're not just transcribing it from looking at it yourself, you'd have to find some way to like kind of poke around in their release and find the script outside of the Saturn game. And then you'd just be hacking into the Saturn game yourself as if you were starting your own fan translation from scratch. So
yeah, exactly.
It would be some work.
Good game, though. I mean, it's definitely one that I would like to see at some point translated, but you know, folks got their hands full, and that's fine.
It's going to be translated just on modern platform.
Just on a modern platform, but who knows? Maybe that'll inform, like, maybe folks can, like, yoink that, and I don't know, slip it back into the Saturn version. Who knows? But yeah, no, it does, like, this is one of John Linneman's favorites. Like, I think it was his or Audi's. Oh, it might have been Audi's that he was like, you know, I'd love to see a translation of this. This is definitely one of those awesome games for folks to play in the Japanese library if you haven't. I know it was Audi, yeah, because Audi's like huge into the Japanese library. And I was like asking him, like, what's some of your favorite or most recommended games? Lennox 2 was one of them. So
nice.
Yeah.
Cool that, you know, another Saturn Tribute line release is putting in another classic Saturn game in front of a whole new audience. So
absolutely,
you know, that's cool.
Yep. So that's a wrap on our week's news. We had a Daytona article and video from the Sega guys. Go check out our Shiro Challenge for the week, the month of March, all month.
It's in our Discord server.
Steep Slope Sliders in our Discord server. No emulation. Mm-hmm. You guys can play on real hardware. No cheats or anything like that. We're basically, but I mean, you're totally fine to use ODEs or burn discs or whatever. Get your burn on and then come join us and submit some times. Folks are having fun. I think, what did he say? Like, we're already up to, we already passed
more than 100 submissions.
More than 100 submissions. Yeah, and we're only in the first week. So there you go. PAL version permitted. That is a good question.
Yes.
Are we doing PAL? Yes. I don't think there's any difference. So yeah, we're doing, yeah, exactly. There's no difference. So go for it. In fact, if anything, he said the PAL version might be, I don't know if he said the PAL version might be harder, but yeah, it's definitely allowed.
I think that, aren't they in the, it's in its own separate category, like we did with last month's challenge with Sega Touring Car Championship.
You know, I think I you'd think that I would know just off the Memphis says yes. Yeah, because I actually don't know if they divided it this time or if there was any difference between the two.
I think it is divided. I think we just haven't got any PAL submissions yet. So
okay.
Get on the board, Memphis. You're going to be number one.
You could dominate right there. PAL and NTSC are in the same group. Thanks, Nathan Anderson. So they are
group.
Yeah,
okay,
you know what it was? It was emulation, which isn't allowed.
That.
And it was saying, emulation is not allowed, but even if you tried it, that would be harder because of the way that it runs a little faster. You kind of need the slowdown in order to.
Yeah, the emulation isn't 100% accurate.
Right.
So we can't allow it.
Tomb Raider Unfinished Business. Check it out. Peter highly recommends it. And Shin Megami Tensei Soul Hackers First Look. We're all definitely hyped for this and can't wait to see it finished. I know Trekkies is not going to stop until it's perfect. Dude's a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Grandia was any indication of that and Sakura Wars and the other projects that he's had a hand in, he'll definitely, it's going to be phenomenal. So definitely stay tuned, stay locked to Shiro because we'll give you the news that we hear along the way. And then, of course, Assault Suit Lennox, physically in the West. We'll see.
Yeah, it's cool. It is cool that we're getting it physically at all in the West.
Yes, this is true. Yeah.
I don't think we've gotten any Saturn Tribute games released physically in the West. Quite a few of them have come out in Japan physically, and then, you know, people can import them. But
and
then
it's always
Japanese.
Been digital in the West, though. It's always been digital.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time they release them in the West, it's digital. If they release them in the West at all, which they didn't with, like, the Tsuchipai collection of Mahjong games. So, it is cool. Even if it's going to take a while, even if it's delayed, you know, there's a silver lining that, like, it is going to be physical, at least for the Switch and the PlayStation. I'm guessing probably PlayStation 4, and then it'll just run in backwards compatibility mode for the PS5.
Also, Moose brings up a good point. Akira Toriyama just passed away at the beginning of this month.
Oh, yeah.
And that is very, very somber news. Anybody who's like a huge fan of just anime in general, manga, I mean, like his art was some of the best of all time, you know. I'm a huge Dragon Force fan, Dragon Ball Quest. Dragon Quest. And Dragon Ball.
How many Dragon things?
That's funny. There's so many I was thinking Dragon Force because I just had that talk with Mel. But no, Dragon Quest and Dragon Force. And I mean, his artwork is amazing. So yeah, definitely.
It is an iconic art style that he developed. Yeah. And he kept drawing right up to the very end.
Absolutely. That's the thing is he was so prolific. I mean, and his art style is like, his art style will continue to be replicated, I'm sure, in the Dragon Force games, in the Dragon Quest games.
Did it again.
But again, it's almost like an actor or something. It's almost like it's become almost like a character, like his style of drawing. Nobody creates art like that.
It wouldn't be Dragon Quest, you know, without his style of art. You couldn't do a Dragon Quest in a different style. I think the fans would reject it. It wouldn't be recognizable.
It would be some other RPG. It would not be Dragon Quest. Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's a big person in the industry that we lost. So definitely worth a mention. And for folks on our website, I just wanted to point out real quick before we wrap things up here, you go to SegaSaturnShiro.com and you can get articles, podcasts, linked from here. You got videos. There are resources, and the resources are really driven by you guys, the fans, people in the community doing cool stuff like Ray, who put together this Netlink site for Shiro. The entire site here is served up on your Netlink or any old internet browser. You can
check out SegaSaturnShiro.com on your Saturn.
On your Saturn, you can actually browse the website on your Saturn, and there you go. It loads text pretty darn quick, and even the images are cached for pretty quick retrieval. So it's got these nice little navigation things at the bottom. I'm not sure you guys can see that on here, but anyway, also another cool community project Saturn Memories has the archive that you guys can check out, and it is incredibly comprehensive. You got repositories, boot devices, lists of boot devices, emulation projects dating from old and outdated archaic emulators to, you know, the most up-to-date homebrew hacks and patches, company websites, official game websites, websites of notable people that were in games. That's another one that he just added. You got fan sites and communities, YouTube channels, and a frequently asked questions. So
it's almost starting to feel like a Saturn specific wiki, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of the idea. It's just a collection of links. Some of these a lot of them are to the Wayback Machine, obviously, since some of these sites are no longer hosted. But the point is that it's all here, and there's just a wealth of information. You guys can definitely just check out that. It's like a playground if you're interested in old Saturn stuff. Obviously, there's also the fan translation page that Private Eye heads up and manages, and he keeps this thing like to the second. Like if something new comes out, I check over here just to see if I can see him slipping, but no, he's got it already on there. So yeah, like if you want an up-to-date listing of any projects that have been released, any ones that are actually like in progress, there's even a in progress releases right here. You can see like Devil Summoner Soul Hackers, there's the latest patch, Gun Griffin 2, you know, anything that's halfway done or in process, the Mystery Hospital, there's the patch for that. So definitely check this out. Private Eye has done a great job and even given us some notes there. So yeah, there's so many more things I'd love to highlight, but we're running out of time. Just check out SegaSaturnShiro.com for just a bunch of cool articles. Dan's written a ton of them, and you can search if there's anything you're interested in reading about, and check out some of the cool stuff that the folks in the community are doing. You can also purchase merch from the website. You can purchase a magazine. We still have a few old B-stock copies.
You can get this Panzer Dragoon shirt.
You can learn how...
It's a long sleeve, but there's also a short sleeve. I'm sure it's awesome. Feels great.
You can learn how to get your Saturn online in 2024. And here's a list of games that are compatible. And it's pretty straightforward. There's a few pieces of hardware that you need, but it's a pretty straightforward process. Speaking of that, we've invoiced the next 10 folks on the list, and folks are starting to pay those invoices, and Knight is going to start testing them before packing them up to ship out. And I imagine he'll probably, you know, reach out to each person showing them that it works and this is exactly what you can expect before putting it in the mail and having it go out to them. So we've already had the first 10 people receive their modems, or they're about to, if they're overseas, it's probably taking a little while longer. And then, we'll be getting the next 10 out to folks. And those folks, I imagine, will be coming into our Discord, into the Saturn Online, and needing help getting their modems online. So we're definitely going to help you guys, hook you guys up, literally hook it up and get it online.
Yeah, it'll be good.
That is, yeah, it'll be great. You're one of them, Dan. Am I right? You're going to be online.
I'm going to get a next online.
It's like a. I'm excited. Yep, it's awesome.
I'm going to have to start getting myself some more. I'm going to have to get the special patched versions of these games to play with the
which
tunnel,
you can
right?
Do, so. You can do through that guide. That guide has a link to Joe's Dream Pipe page, Saturn Pipe.
Yeah.
Which is like an offshoot of the Dream Pipe, and it has all that stuff for you. Thanks again.
Cool.
Shouts to Joe for making that a possibility. Also, we have, let's see here, we have patron supporters. We have a bunch of patron supporters, and we appreciate all of you. For those of you that support us at the $10 and up level, we like to read your names out loud on the show every week just to honor you guys. Thank you so much for your support. Your continued financial contribution has allowed us to buy these modems. It's allowed us to go to PRGE. It's allowed Pat and I are doing Game On Expo next week. There's a bunch of other stuff. It helped us do the magazine and a bunch of other cool stuff to come. So it helps us host the website. That keeps getting more expensive. And Google
podcast,
Google Suite and everything like that. Yep. And the podcast, which is what, Podbean. So yeah, it really helps us cover our asses in terms of expenses. So we really, really appreciate you guys. Those that support us at the, I guess, producer level, the $10 and up. I'm going to read your names right now. We got A Murder of Crows, Blue Moon 95, Casual Seth, Cerulean, Chris Piper, Chris 1997 XX, Daniel Fredrickson, David Zaney, Derek Pascarella, A-Team, Emerald Nova. Remember to check out his stream next weekend, not this week.
Next weekend.
Week, he'll be revealing the winners of the Sega Extreme Game Contest. We got Fat Drunk Friend Otaku, the best kind of friend. We got Gem Clash or Rank, Ian Keg, Jay Hersey, Johannes Fetz, Memphis, Michael Sabag, Normal Guy, Newt Rages, Robert Ramsey, Rowan Dinked, Sega Steve, Shadow Mask, Stone Man, Tanuki Trev, The Sega Guys, What Is This, and Young Money Swee.
Sweet.
Young Money.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. And actually, there's a few folks on that list right there who I know are going to be joining our NetLink League. Rowan is one of those. Rowan Dinked is one. I think Stone Man is. Sega Guys, they're going to be getting online. They're going to be doing some online play. That's going to be awesome because we're going to see it in their videos. And then hopefully we'll do like an online stream thing. I'm totally going to have James and Dan, like, we'll do something with the green screens or whatever, like I did with Retrospectors, but we'll get some kind of a stream going on. That'll be rad. So thanks to all of you guys who support us at that level. But if you can't afford that, no big deal. If you can't even afford to support us regularly, it's okay. Just give us a thumbs up on the stream and join our Discord and be a part of the conversation. That's really all we ask, is that you guys be a part of the conversation so that we can get to know you and you can be part of this community. It's a Saturn family that continues to grow. I think our Discord continues to add new members almost every day. So
it's always
exciting when we get new folks in. So yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to plug before we head out, Dan?
Nope. I think that'll do it. That's a wrap on another week of Sega Saturn news. So Absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
Yep.
Glad to be here for yet another stream here with you, Dave. Right, again, we're sorry that Pat wasn't here, but you know, you can look forward to seeing him next week.
He's
gallivanting.
He's probably got a bucket.
He's glad
full
to get
of
the break.
Yep. Anyway, it's been Saturn Dave and Danthrax reminding you that you must play Sega Saturn. Until next time, we'll see ya. Peace.